am going to present my master's thesis work, or just one section of it, actually. And I worked at the University of New Hampshire under Dr. Brent Loy. And I'm looking at grafting melons to increasing yield and the harvest period, as well as the resistance to sudden wilt. So initially, just to introduce you to commercial, or lack thereof, of melon production in the Northeast and New England area, only 2,300 acres currently is in the Northeast, and that includes the areas from Maine all the way down to Maryland and Delaware. And in New England states, it's only 143 acres. So there's a lot of room for improvement. Much of this, obviously, you could all guess, if you've ever been to New England, it's kind of cold there for a long period of time, so we have a very short season. Generally, you can't place melon transplants into the field until about the first to second week in June. However, there have been many advances in research to try to get at this season extension, a way to try to get the plants in earlier. One being breeding work, trying to get the plants to set flowers and fruit earlier to shorten that growing season, bringing the fruits to market earlier. Looking at row covers to add a little bit of protection, combining that with black plastic mulch to help heat the soil a little earlier. Maybe you could get those plants in a little bit sooner. And then low tunnels and high tunnels, which we've heard a lot about. However, in the New England area, that return on investment may not necessarily be something that would, for melons, work. And research in University of Rhode Island had shown that although it wasn't using grafted plants, so who knows. But despite all of this, it's still a very small amount of acreage dedicated to commercial production of melons. And much of this is due to the fact that we have this problem called sudden wilt. If you ask any of the growers in the New England area why they don't grow melons, they'll tell you they're sick of their plants looking like that. They dedicate a whole bit of ground the whole season. They're getting excited. They see all those melons. They're getting ready to ripen. They go out in their field just prior to harvest, and that's what they look like. And sudden wilt is essentially similar to what we call like the common cold for melons. Many things can cause it, one of them being biotic stresses, soil-borne pathogens that weaken the root system and weaken its ability to keep up with the demand of ripening the fruit. At the point when the fruit has the full fruit load, the plant is at its maximum stress state. Possibly abiotic stresses contribute to this, and it might be just a combination of both, a perfect storm that takes that plant down at its most vulnerable state. And grafting has been shown across the world as being one way to deal with soil-borne pathogens, to deal with abiotic stresses. But in New England, in the melon field, mostly because we don't really grow a lot commercially, no one has yet looked at that as a solution. So y'all know about grafting, so I'm not going to really go into this. One thing that I would like to note is that I used the one cotyledon method. I root excised the roots. I had about a 95% success rate. But I did all the grafting myself, and I'm pretty good with a knife. And one thing we did work on, which I won't cover here, but we're happy to talk to you about, is my healing chamber design using LED lights and looking at different spectrum combinations. And we found that helped to increase our success rate. And as you can see here with the 4 days after grafting, that's what they kind of look like. So those roots really redifferentiate really quickly, quite surprising. So grafting has, as we've seen, a lot of benefits. Disease resistance and increasing vigor. We wanted to really see, does it really help us with the cold tolerance? And season extension, not only getting those plants into the ground earlier, but if we can maintain the vigor of that plant, we can extend the season longer. But there are drawbacks with everything. And potentially, does this influence fruit size? Because if your market is that little old lady who wants that perfect little tiny little melon, if your melon is twice the size, that might not be great. The quality, there's been many studies that have shown increased quality, also reduced quality, so we wanted to see what would happen in our field studies. Also, the increased cost of grafting, you would need to make sure that an increased yield would offset the additional cost to the cost of either your labor in producing those yourself or in bringing those plants in. And also, incompatibility has been shown not only initially when you first graft them, but also after they're out in the field. Those plants look pretty good for the first month, and then they start to go down. So we wanted to also look at that. And then management. One of the things that we saw in an initial trial in 2015 was when it rained heavily, we saw increased cracking in the grafted melons as well as a reduced soluble solids. So the objectives of my study were to compare the disease tolerance, yield, and quality between grafted and non-grafted plants receiving two different irrigation frequencies and to determine if the interspecific rootstocks that I used would tolerate the cold soils and help facilitate season extension. So I used Helona melon variety that actually was developed by Dr. Brent Loy, and H1320, which is a not-yet-released rootstock that Dr. Loy had developed. I had control of non-grafted plants. I used 8 plants per plot with 4 replicates, 2 feet with between the plants, and my rows were 8 feet apart on center. I used 3 different planting dates. May 12th was deemed, looking at 10 years of historical data, to be the earliest we could possibly put them in to avoid severe frost damage, meaning around 29 degrees Fahrenheit. And June 1st is a typical date, and I picked a date in between. They were covered by a row cover for protection when needed, although in 2016 we didn't need it at all. And then I had 2 water levels, a traditional watering regimen that we use, which is every 2 days for 2 hours, and then the others were just for 2 hours but every 4 days. Used a split plot design. Water was my main treatment, and then I had 2 subplots being date and grafted versus non-grafted. Used analysis of variance and Tukey's honest squared difference for statistical analysis. So initially, when I placed my plants out, on the right-hand side of the screen are the non-grafted plants, and on the left-hand side are the grafted plants. Initially, 18 days after grafting, those non-grafted plants seem to be a little bit more vigorous, a little bit larger. However, after 5 weeks after grafting, the grafted plants had a higher rate of vegetative growth and continued that throughout the season. And although I'm missing my cannons to fire these things, this was just on one day. August 8th was my peak yield, regardless of planting date. And in looking at my cumulative yield, these are broken out by planting date. The 2 bars on the left are of the grouping are the non-grafted plants, and the 2 bars on the right of the grouping are the grafted plants. So they produce significantly more melons than the non-grafted. And the only treatment or planting date treatment that showed a difference in irrigation was the grafted plants in the June 1st planting date. And those are tons per hectare that are averaged on the grafting treatment. And looking across the season, what we see is very interesting when we analyze it, comparing the planting date and its effect on harvest. If your market is for a wholesale market and you really want to save on labor, plant them really early in the season. You get about a week, and then you're done, and you can, plant broccoli. But if it's not and you're direct to consumer, it may not necessarily be the best choice to place them in the ground really early. You may take advantage of the people that are chomping at the bit to get a fresh melon at your farmer's market, but you won't be able to continue your supply. So potentially planting 2 different planting dates really early and 1 traditional, you might be able to lengthen your season because you can see the June 1st really gave us a nice long season. And the yield really came from both increase in fruit number, but also increase in fruit size. So this is certainly an area for some additional research. What we find interesting is looking at the first planting date, the difference in fruit size is not as significant as looking at the final planting date, where those melons were much larger when they were grafted compared to the non-grafted. And looking at soluble solids, there was no significant difference in soluble solids between any of my treatments. The reason why I put this up here is to actually look at a very interesting trend across the season, in that it's like an inverse of my yield, and that at the largest peak date is when we have the lowest amount of soluble solids, and then those soluble solids increase as the fruit load of the plant reduces. So this might be something interesting to look into breeding work, in that maybe it isn't necessarily desirable to have your plant set all of its melons within 5 days. And maybe if those plants didn't set all their fruit in a very short period of time, it might help to increase the soluble solids, because it would even out the ability for that plant to keep up with the source sink demands. So one very interesting thing that I found, and it might, if I were to ever repeat this study, I would totally design my experiment differently. This is a picture of a plot of non-grafted plants. But what you see here are not non-grafted plants. Those are grafted plants that grew over top of my non-grafted plants. After I removed the plants, I noticed there was sudden wilt in my non-grafted plants, but not in the grafted plants. And so there might have been a slight interference factor that my grafted plants were blocking out the sun from my non-grafted plants. So potentially, maybe not planting them so that they'll grow over top of each other, or better management, or perhaps further apart. So grafted plants, they maintain the vigor, and I'm sure there are many different studies that could be done to look at this. I think one of the reasons that they maintain vigor is obviously a really great root system helps to increase nutrient and hydraulic function, which maintains a source sink balance. Melons, actually, after they set their first fruit, really cease their vegetative growth. So they really just put all of their assimilates to ripening the fruit, and but they have an ever-increasing demand for the amount of photosynthates without increasing their ability to supply that, whereas grafted plants continue to grow vegetatively, so they have an increased leaf area. And I think that's one of the reasons why they can keep up with the increased demand of ripening the fruit. So in conclusion, I increased yield by up to 147% over non-grafted plants, lengthened the season from 2 weeks to about 2 months, increased the quality of melons, or at least maintained it, and also we saw no sudden wilt in the grafted plants. So in looking forward to the future, some really interesting questions. Although I have started my PhD in soil science at NC State and won't be looking at it, but when I become a doctor, I will, is looking at spacing. We really need to look at maybe one of the ways to save when you're looking at the amount of money in grafted plants is we don't need as many per acre. Also, ways of controlling fruit. Perhaps there are some breeding rootstock people out there who can find ways to control fruit size by just the genetics that's involved in rootstocks, and also looking at the rhizosphere, kind of adding on to what you did was, I mean, we could probably spend the next 50 years looking at what's going on down below the soil. So with that, I'll take your questions. Thanks. Right, Terry. Sure. The question was in the healing chamber and the types of LEDs that I used. I had three different light spectrum combinations, one being a higher blue, one being a little bit higher in the red, and one that is your traditional one that they use in evaluating crops. Don't make them look purple. And the light with the higher blue helped to keep the plants shorter, more compact, helping dealing with the field conditions where we have high wind, so they don't snap as much. And also, they seem to differentiate roots and heal a little bit faster. Yeah. The effect really was not significant, and certainly needs some more research done to, because, one, we had a severe drought that year. And we were watering these plants only 2 hours every 4 days. And yet we didn't see a significant decrease in yield, with exception for the June 1st planting date.
And you also use fertilizer, right?
No, we use no fertigation. Our plants were, our fields were fertilized prior to planting, and then that was all. Because we actually add compost and other things into our soil.
Okay.